Here we go. It's another big week in the NFL for the Denver Broncos. This is the Broncos Wire Podcast, powered by USA Today Sports. Now, your host, Ryan O'Leary, and Broncos Wire editor, John Heath.
Welcome into the show. Great to have you with us for this post-NFL draft edition of the Broncos Wire Podcast. We have a long list of topics we're going to, we're hoping to cover them all, and we're gonna try to hit them. But first, shout out to you, John, and really the entire USA Today NFL Wires team for your draft coverage. You guys absolutely killed it as usual. I do not know how you guys posted as many articles as you did and how timely you were after each pick across the board, but especially on Broncos Wire as well. But again, you guys killed it as usual. Congrats to you on that. It was really fun to watch you guys work and to have the content right in front of you as it was happening was kind of awesome.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. I can't take a lot of credit for that, though, because Broncos Wire has three contributors now, Josh, Brandon, and Brad, and they were huge with the draft this year. So shout out to those three guys. I'm really happy to have them at Broncos Wire. But yeah, as a whole, Broncos Wire and the NFL Wire as a whole, their draft coverage the last few years has been phenomenal.
Yeah, excellent. And it's good to get the contributors shouted out because we probably don't shout them out enough for the work they do, John. But I just wanted to start with that. And that's enough of the pleasantries, right? We have a long list of things to get to. So let's get to Jerry Jeudy getting arrested, right? So we'll get the pleasantries out of the way and get to Jerry Jeudy being arrested. Great start for the Broncos, right? How are you feeling about this? It doesn't sound like it's a dire situation for Jeudy and the Broncos, but what's your take on Jeudy getting arrested?
Yeah, just like you said right there, doesn't seem like it's a dire situation. And I don't want to minimize it, especially because when the very first thing that came out from police mentioned domestic violence, and then you're like, oh my goodness, this is terrible. What in the world did he do? But then when more details come out, it sounds like basically just a couple's quarrel where she was wanting to see his phone. He was hiding his phone from her, and then she took his phone. And so in retaliation, he wouldn't give her back things that belonged to her. And then so she called the police, and then the police ended up arresting him. And she said in court the next morning that there was nothing physical, there was no violence. And she even said she wasn't wanting him to be arrested. She just wanted the situation to be diffused. So it sounds like, and I want to be careful because I'm not a lawyer, but just from a non-lawyer perspective, in my opinion, it seems like it's not that big of a deal. And he's going to go back to court at the end of May, but he's been practicing with the Broncos again. And it seems like if any kind of punishment from the court, it seems like it would be minimal. And I can't imagine the NFL would suspend him for something like this, because it just seems like it's minimal to me. Again, from a non-legal perspective, as a person who doesn't cover this kind of thing for a living, it doesn't seem like it was a huge deal. So from that perspective, it's kind of a sigh of relief. Okay, maybe it was blown out a little out of proportion before we knew all the information there. And obviously, from a human perspective, you hope that Jeudy and his girlfriend, that they work this out and that things go better for them going forward. But, we're a football podcast and a Broncos podcast. So also from a football perspective, Jeudy, this is a big year coming up for him. His first 2 years in the NFL, he just didn't live up to his first round talent. And he has all the excuses in the world because the quarterback play has been terrible. But Russell Wilson is here now, and so there's no more excuses. Jeudy, he's got to have a big season this year. He's got to live up to his first-round talent. So on the field and off the field, things have got to be going well for him. So it's something that you don't like to see happen, but hopefully it's not a big thing. Hopefully they're going to move past it. Hopefully he'll be okay going forward, and his relationship will be fine going forward, hopefully. And hopefully on the field this year, he turns into the first round pick that we've been expecting him to be.
I think you nailed it. You kind of stole my take there, John. Good for you. Because we share the topics, but we don't necessarily share our takes. Because last year at this time, we were talking about the same thing. This is a big year for Jerry Jeudy. You did an interview with him. We were playing sound from the interview and reacting to it, and we were talking about how big of a year it was for Jerry Jeudy, right? Same situation here. I think we're all a little disappointed with last year, right? Across the board, not just with Jerry Jeudy. But yeah, no, I would say the same thing. It's a big year for him. It's not a great start. But, you know, I think when you saw this story come out, a situation domestically involving Jeudy and the mother of his child, it's like you're just hoping he didn't put his hands on her or hurt anybody. He didn't do that. So, yeah, hopefully they work it out. Hopefully the NFL, who will probably rule after the court makes a decision, but as you wrote, the punishment will probably be minimal. So let's just hope we can get back to playing football and he can settle that stuff off the court. But I agree with you 100%, John. Big year for Jerry Jeudy. Big year for all Broncos receivers. It's a big year for the young core, right? We keep talking about the young core. You're nice and up and coming, and your young core, eventually you got to cash it in. And we're getting to the point now with the Broncos, with Russell Wilson here, where it's time to cash it in.
Yep, I think they will. I make this comparison all the time, the Russell Wilson, Peyton Manning comparison, but it really reminds me of that because the Broncos, they had a Demaryius Thomas, they had an Eric Decker, they got a Julius Thomas, and Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker with Tim Tebow and Kyle Orton, you could see the potential, just like we can see the potential with someone like Jeudy, but the numbers weren't there. And as soon as Peyton Manning comes in, instantly, they're all off the charts. And I really think Wilson can do something similar this year with the offense.
Right, and another part of the core is Melvin Gordon. Right, the Broncos re-signing Gordon just before the draft. He's a guy we've talked about quite a bit on the podcast, John. I think for me, after the season, I didn't want him. I didn't want him back because of, you know, not necessarily because of the fumbles, just because he was like overpaid last year for his role. It was just he was just making too much money. It didn't make sense. I didn't want him back at that number. I did say, John, that at $2.5 million for a year, like, that would be fine. That's, you know, that's where his market was. That's what the Broncos got him, right? That's where they got him for this year. And I think really underneath this all, isn't this is what the quarterback wanted, right? They were teammates at Wisconsin. And I just thought with them bringing back Melvin Gordon, it's fine. I have no problem with it. I know you don't either. I'll let you talk here coming up. But like, if Russell Wilson wants Melvin Gordon, he wants his buddy, he's going to get it, right? This is the world we're in now. If Russell Wilson wants him, maybe George Payton thought going into the draft he was going to draft a running back in the middle rounds, which would have been a sound plan and strategy. And you talked about that, and I think our last recording. But if Russell wanted his guy, he's going to get his guy, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think not only would Wilson like to reunite him because he's his buddy, like you say, but I think Wilson, you've got to have a pass blocking back for him, and you got to have a quality receiving back out of the backfield for him. And there's nobody like that in the draft day one that's going to come in and be a real good pass blocker and be, you know, an excellent receiver out of the backfield. And Gordon checks both those boxes. And like in our last time we had a podcast, I was saying I don't think they're going to re-sign him because they haven't yet, so they're probably going to draft a younger, cheaper running back. And then just a day before the draft, they brought him back. So I was surprised by the timing, but I'm not surprised by the decision because, like I said, he's a real good pass blocker. Before he got to Denver, he had multiple seasons where he had 50 catches in a year, and he hasn't done that in Denver just because it hasn't been his role, but he's capable of being a real productive receiver out of the backfield, and he's very capable of being a very good blocker in the backfield, and there was no rookie this year that they were going to get to be able to do it as well as Gordon. And like you said, he's cheap. $2.5 million, that's perfectly fine. Like, yeah, a rookie running back would be cheaper, but 2.5 is not too much for how productive Gordon is. He's well worth that. So I think it was a fine decision. And like next year, they can draft a young running back next year if they want. This, I think, is kind of a short-term fix to have a veteran running back, a veteran blocker. And I think that Javonte Williams is going to be like the 1A and Gordon will move to be like the 1B. They're still going to rotate, but I think Williams is going to get a little more featured this year.
Yeah, that's interesting because I think, you know, ultimately the return of Melvin Gordon, whether I love it or not, John, at the price that they got him at for this year, that's not going to hurt the Broncos. You know,
no.
When you think about it, for the real football team, the real Broncos, it'll probably help Javonte Williams. It'll probably help Russell Wilson having him back, right? So it's fine. It's like, as you said, I have no problem with them bringing him back at that price. No one should really have a problem with it. Unless, John, unless you're the fantasy football community, right?
Yeah.
Here's a side topic, right? Like, dynasty league owners who have Javonte Williams, they can't be happy right now, right? Because how's the split going to be? Like you said, right? Like, maybe he's 1A to 1B, but last year it was really 60-40. It was maybe 50-50, 60-40. I think it was a little bit slanted towards Gordon in terms of touches, right? We're not really going to know, right? We have a new head coach who loved to deploy two backs, right? Whether it was Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams or Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon over in Green Bay, Nathaniel Hackett loves those two running backs. He probably loves having Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon back because they played together. They like each other, whatever. They've been in the room together. So how will this committee go? When should you draft Javonte Williams? Should you be pissed if you're a Dynasty League owner? I mean, that's a whole side topic with the fantasy football community, right?
Yeah, I think it's disappointing in Dynasty Leagues, but I think if you had Javonte Williams in Dynasty, you were excited about the possibility of them not bringing back Gordon. But if you are paying attention to what we've been saying, he's not going to be a workhorse. They're not going to run him into the ground because we've seen Nathaniel Hackett. He's Dunson do that. In Green Bay, Aaron Jones is a great running back, and they still drafted A.J. Dillon, and they still gave A.J. Dillon like half the touches. So I think that's becoming more and more prevalent in the NFL. Unless you have like a Derrick Henry, or unless you have someone that they run into the ground like Alvin Kamara, or Christian McCaffrey, guys that always get hurt, unless it's like that kind of a scenario, and there's fewer and fewer of them across the NFL, you're not going to have a true workhorse. So you just got to try to find guys in fantasy that you know have the talent, and when they get the opportunities, they're productive. And Williams, he has the talent. He's productive when he gets opportunities. And even if he does a 50-50 split, like, you could still play Aaron Jones in fantasy last year, and he was still good. He wants in Derrick Henry good because nobody in the NFL gets that kind of workload, but he's still a good back. So I say you could still start Javonte Williams. You have to know he's not the workhorse guy, but he never really was going to be the workhorse guy even before they re-signed Gordon, because they would have paired him with someone else.
Yep, that's Hackett's style. So we knew going into the draft that they didn't really need a running back anymore because they signed Melvin Gordon. They addressed that, but they did make plenty of draft picks. John, let's get into the draft a little bit, talk about some of these guys. I want to get your take on them. Obviously, the Broncos didn't have a first or second round pick because of the Russell Wilson trade. Well, they didn't have their own second round pick, right? But they did have that second round pick from the Rams when they traded Von Miller, and they used that second rounder to select an outside linebacker, Nick Bonito. Tell me about him. What do you think about him? And do you like him? They have really stocked up on their pass rushers, the Broncos have. It's going to be an interesting camp in that regard.
Yeah, I do like him. And like you said, they've stocked up on outside linebackers. I think it just, this pick is a reflection of, like, teams say it all the time, and like, it's such a cliche, but you want to draft for, you know, the best player available opposed to reaching for needs. And people, teams always say that, and I don't think they actually all the time do it. But I think George Payton, this draft, I think he proved it by not addressing a few needs, that they really were going to draft the best player available, because pass rushers, they didn't have to have this very season another one, because you got Bradley Chubb. You just brought in Randy Gregory. Those are two quality starting outside linebackers. And then Jonathan Cooper and Malik Reed, they're capable guys behind them. So they didn't have to have one right now, but they just know he's a real quality player. They didn't expect him to drop to the bottom of the second round. And pass rusher is such a premium position in the NFL. If you get a chance to draft someone like that, you do. And I think it's just a smart way to build your roster because of the kind of position it is. And because of Bradley Chubb's contract situation, like, you want to give yourself flexibility going forward. Like, Bradley Chubb's in a contract year. And if he's not quite good enough this year and the Broncos don't want to re-sign him next year, now they got Bonito all ready to go because they drafted him when they didn't have to have him. Or like, if Chubb does have an amazing season and the Broncos can't afford to sign him next year because he's so good this year, he gets a monster contract in free agency, then you got Bonito all ready to go next year. So I think just kind of targeting best player available, targeting key positions that you know you can never, they always say you can never have too many pass rushers. So just the principle of landing him, I really like. And the player himself, I think, but he's in a great spot because he's not going to be leaned on as a rookie. He's going to be a rotational pass rusher, which he's going to love that. He's not going to have to necessarily do the early down dirty work. He's not going to have to set the edge and defend the run all the time like Chubb and Gregory will be doing, but that is something they want him to work on, though. So he's got to get a little bigger, a little stronger, a little better defending the edge, but I think as a rookie, he's mostly just going to have fun rushing the passer, which is a real nice way to adjust to getting into the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to hear you talk about him because I didn't know much about the player, John, until they took him and you started writing about him. I have nothing negative to say about the player or the pick. I'm feared I'm about to be blocked on Twitter just for uttering his name in public, right? And I don't know if I'm even blocked on Twitter by people, but all I know is he loves to block people for no reason, it seems. And John, anyone who would block you, that you're the nicest guy in the world, even when you're trying to rip people on the show here, you come across like a nice guy. Honestly, you're like the nicest guy I know. So I don't know if I could trust Benito because he blocked you on Twitter, and I don't know if I could trust him. So yeah, I don't have any take on him as a linebacker and how he's going to contribute for the Broncos. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. We'll see how that pans out. But I don't know. He's already off on the bad foot with me because he blocked you on Twitter. I don't know if I could trust him.
I think he must have had like some kind of Twitter app or something that like blocked like Broncos as a keyword or something. I'm thinking because
does he hate the Broncos? Why?
Well, there were multiple like Broncos fans and even Broncos media people that were also saying they were blocked and they had never interacted with him. Like I never interacted with him. I never tweeted anything bad about him. So I think it was like an automated system, I assume, because I don't know why I would have beef with that many people. And I do remember back in the day, I tweeted that if Shane Ray once in a first round pick, Shaq Barrett would be starting over him. And Shaq Barrett was an undrafted guy, rotational rusher, a real quality rotational rusher for the Broncos. And then when he hit free agency and went to the Bucks, he really took off as a top pass rusher in the NFL. And every Broncos fans could see it. Like Shane Ray just didn't live up to it. But anyway, I'm rambling. Shane Ray blocked me when I tweeted that. I didn't like add him or anything. He probably just searched for his name. And then Shane Ray, his career didn't really pan out well after that. So I'm hoping that Nick Bonito, the same thing doesn't happen to him. I'm hoping like, it's not a great idea for pass rushers to block me on Twitter. That's all I'm saying. So hopefully he will undo that to avoid becoming the next Shane Ray.
Yeah, you're a professional. But you know what Shane Ray did is, you know, that's a little bit more, I guess, like I think Benito's kind of ignoring the noise. The other way is just being too sensitive, overly sensitive, I think, right? So maybe he's just ignoring the noise. He's a rookie. He wants to focus. He doesn't want to focus on the social media. So he's like, I'm going to block everybody. Leave me alone. You could just delete your account, but whatever. I don't know. Again, I don't know if I could trust you if you block John Heath. I don't trust Shane right now. Not sure if I can trust Benito. I'm sorry. I had to do that, John. I had to sneak that in the show. Because
I appreciate you sticking up for me. Well, so
When you tweeted that, I was floored. I'm like, who would block John Heath? He's just the best. Okay. So I haven't watched a ton of Benito stuff. I have to do that. I have watched some Greg Dulcich. I've watched some film. And when I say that, John, I've searched Greg Dulcich on YouTube and watched the highlights. So let's just be clear. I'm not breaking down the All-22, and people know that if they listen to the show. You know where to go for that. It's not here. But he just looks to me like a big human who can move well. He can run, and he looks like he's got a pretty good catch radius, right? Like I've seen highlights of him catching balls out in front of him, balls behind him, adjusting well along the boundaries. Like he looks like he's a professional pass catcher. To me, right? I don't know if you could do all the other stuff that you need to do as a tight end to be a good pro in the NFL, but it looks like he can catch, and that's what we needed after moving Noah Fant to Seattle, right? So I like the pick. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think the way you described him right there, you know, a big guy, a fast guy, a good receiver, it sounds a lot like Noah Fant, and that's kind of what they needed, a replacement, a new Noah Fant. Yep. And so I think it made a ton of sense. And they released a Behind the Broncos video, and in it, the way they were talking, it seemed like they were considering him in the second round. So to be able to get him in the third round, that was another situation where they were happy that he fell to them at that spot. And I know some fans and especially some pundits were really knocking him on draft day because he's not been a very good blocker. At least he wasn't a very good blocker in college. But to me, that's not much of an issue at all because – as a rookie tight end, if he's going to be on the field, it's probably going to be when they're in two tight end situations or like when they have like a tight end flexed out kind of as like a slot receiver. And I think he's going to be on the field primarily to be a receiver because that's what they draft him for, to be a receiver. If they want a second tight end on the field to block, they just signed Eric Tomlinson exactly because of his blocking. Like they don't care at all about Tomlinson's catching. Like he's a blocking tight end. that is like 99% of his job. So they have a blocking tight end. That's not going to be Dulcich's day one duties. And of course you want him to get better and they'll work with him. And like next year, like he'll probably be the number one or the number two tight end, and blocking is going to be more important. But as far as like an immediate role, they're not throwing him out on the field to block. Like if he's going to get on the field as a rookie, it's going to be for his best attributes, which is catching the ball. So I think people that are worried about his blocking don't, I think it's a little bit of an overreaction. He's here to catch passes, and they'll work with him blocking, and presumably that will improve with time.
Yeah, definitely. Get him in this NFL strength and conditioning program. They'll teach him how to block. It'll be fine. And you know, another reason I like the pick is because, and I love Albert O. I don't know. I have a thing for him. I think he's great, right? But I don't know if Albert O is ready to carry the load as the main receiving tight end, John. I just don't know, right? Like he made some plays last year for sure, situationally. But I don't know if he's the guy to replace Noah Fant, right? Like, who knows? So, you know, like I said, this Dulcich kid, he looks like he's a specialist at catching the football. That's all I can, you know, in my film study on YouTube, that's what I see. So it's great. I think, you know, talking about dynasty fantasy leagues, like Dulcich is a kid that I kind of like. Like if you're, if you're in a rookie draft and, and you need some help at tight end,
I would
target him. I'm actually trying to target him. We're in the fourth round of my dynasty league draft right now. And how am I recording a podcast, John, during my draft? Because the freaking commissioner set the pick timer to 12 hours. 12 hours. And people are literally taking all of that time to make their decision between, like, you know, George Pickens and Sky Moore or whatever, right? It's like, guys, can we just, we started this on Thursday. It's been almost a week, John. We're still going here. We're in the beginning of the fourth round. Dulcich is still on the board. I have three picks left. So I'll probably get there by, you know, by Friday of this week, and hopefully he's still there and I could take him, because I think he's a, you know, like you said, a guy that might get on the field a little bit this year and catch some balls, right? So looking forward to that. Another need the Broncos had that you wrote about and talked about here was inside linebacker. The Broncos passed on inside linebacker. Why'd they do that, John?
Yeah, I think just like I was saying with Benito, they didn't necessarily need him and he fell to them. Inside linebacker they did need, but the ones they liked, just they didn't fall to them, and they weren't going to reach for a guy in the bottom of the second round that they had like a late third round grade on. They wanted to stick to their board, especially because like a pass rusher, like I said, you got to have pass rusher. Like you got to have a pass rusher, you got to have a real good corner, you got to have a good left tackle. Like those are the key positions in the NFL, and the Broncos, they've kind of proven the last few years they haven't put an emphasis on inside linebacker. They haven't drafted an inside linebacker early in years. And I think they just don't value the position. They let Kenny Young walk in free agency. They haven't re-signed Alexander Johnson in free agency. He's still available. And Josey Jewell, he didn't get a huge contract from them. He was somewhat of a bargain deal for how much he's played and how well he's played. So I think they don't value position that much, and certainly not enough to reach for a guy. So I think it's something that they're going to do patchwork this year. Like they signed Alex Singleton, but I think ideally he'd be better on special teams, and they have Baron Browning, but they've been having him work at outside linebacker. And that's kind of surprising to me given that inside linebacker is a need and they're so deep.
Someone's got to move inside, John.
Yeah. So I think maybe Browning is going to be like a hybrid role, kind of like, he's able to play outside, but he can also be inside. I assume that's what the big thing is going to be. I think it's going to be a lot of Browning and obviously a lot of Josey Jewell, at least in passing situations. And I think a dark horse to keep an eye on is Jonas Griffith. I think he started four games last year because both Jewell and Johnson went down with injuries, and he did pretty decent. And it seems like the coaching staff really likes him. So he's a young guy, kind of a dark horse to keep an eye on at the position.
It's like coaching youth soccer, right? And everybody wants to be a forward. Nobody wants to play defense or goalie. It's like, come on, we can't all just be outside linebackers and rush the passer. We need someone
exactly.
Inside, John. I think when you look at it through the scope of the modern-day NFL, the Broncos are being smart. Or let me rephrase that. They think they're being smart, right? Time will tell. But they're not the only team that did this. Now, I love covering the Broncos on this show with you, John, but I'm an actual fan of, as you know, the Patriots. And the Patriots might have the worst inside linebackers in football right now. They're terrible. And they didn't draft one either. So, you know, we saw a bunch of guys, you know, the draft pundits, right? We all crunch different draft pundits that tell us all about these guys, where they're going to be drafted. Well, A lot of guys were wrong on the inside linebackers in this draft, right? N'Kobe Dean of Georgia, who I saw mocked to the Patriots at number 21 overall everywhere. He plummeted. There was a bunch of teams do this because a lot of teams don't value the position anymore, just like the Broncos, right? It's kind of how business is being done. It's not as important to have those big run stuffing linebackers when teams were, you know, it was, or I guess it was when teams were running the ball all the time, but it's no longer about stopping the run. It's as you were saying, it's about pressuring the quarterback and stopping the pass on defense, period. That's what you got to do. So yep. The fullback, the inside linebacker, the blocking tight end, like we've seen a transition the NFL shifting out of, you know, into a new era, a new mode. I'm stumbling over myself here, but we're seeing that transition.
No, I get,
and I think that's where the Broncos are.
Yeah, I get completely what you're saying. With Dean, I think, didn't he have like a shoulder situation that teams were worried about him not getting surgery or something?
It was amazing how far he fell, though. You know, it was crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And I think like you're saying with like a run support linebacker, the Broncos have that guy in Jewel. So if they're going to get an inside linebacker, you want an athletic off-ball linebacker, a guy that can do coverage, and they're just once in a guy like that fell to them. So I think that they're just putting it off for another year. Maybe Baron Browning is going to like not become the next Micah Parsons, but become like a superstar flex guy that moves all over the place. You know, maybe they'll be okay, or, you know, maybe they're just going to put it off another year and just patch it up for this season, which they've done the last few years, and it hasn't been the end of the world. And honestly, I think the biggest spot in the middle of the field where they've struggled the last 2 years is against the run. And I think they beefed up their defensive line this offseason, so I think they're going to be a lot better in the middle of the field against the run. And then so the linebackers, it's not quite as imperative necessarily. You can kind of plug a guy in there, opposed to having to have like a Ray Lewis kind of a guy. So I think they'll be okay. I was a little surprised they didn't address the position, but I understand exactly like you're saying that it's not a huge priority position for them.
Yeah, but you were never wrong. The Broncos had and have a need at inside linebacker, but as you said, they just don't value that position like we're used to. And there could be a draft just like this where they don't take one at all. So I get that, right? It makes sense when you think about it and in terms of the modern day NFL. But offensive tackle is a whole nother question, whole nother ball game. You talked about how that was another, you actually had offensive tackle was one of the team's biggest needs, John. They didn't draft a tackle. That one I don't get at all. Like, I understood the inside linebacker thing. Tackle, I was a little bit more miffed at. So you tell me, you tell us, why didn't the Broncos draft an offensive tackle? We thought that was a sure thing.
Well, again, I think it didn't fall to them, and they didn't want to reach way down for a guy that, you know, they liked, but liked it in a later round. And I think the biggest thing this says is they're confident in Billy Turner. And they're not saying that because they're saying it's a competition and they like this guy, and this guy just because they want him to compete in camp. But I think it's pretty clear that Billy Turner is the guy at right tackle. And as soon as he signed, that was kind of obvious because he started the last 3 years in Green Bay under Nathaniel Hackett. So clearly Hackett is very comfortable with him and he kind of knows Hackett's system already. Well, he does know Hackett's system. Like it'll get some tweaks in Denver, but he's familiar with the coach. The coach is familiar with him. He has plenty of starting experience. So I think this year Billy Turner is the guy. And they also signed Tom Compton as a free agent. So he's a guy that has a little bit of experience, a little bit of depth, and he'll compete in camp. And then they also have Calvin Anderson, a young tackle who the last 2 years has kind of been a swing guy who's filled in when people have been hurt. And they say they really like him too. So they have like kind of an established starter. They have a veteran backup. And they have a young guy that's a backup that who they think is promising. So they have candidates there. But I agree with you that it was weird that they didn't draft one because Billy Turner, he's on a one-year deal. He's getting a little older. So he's a fine short-term fix, but he's not the long-term fix. So I would have expected them to draft a right tackle. But clearly they're okay with putting it off another year, like yet another year. It was back in like 2017. They drafted Garrett Bowles in the first round. And since then, it seems like basically every year they do a short-term fix at right tackle, some veteran free agent. And some of them have worked out better than others, but none of them have stuck as a long-term guy. So at some point, they're going to have to address this with a young, promising rookie. But for now, it's just more of the same. And I think Turner can hold it down just fine. It's just it's a short-term fix.
Well, who needs to block anyone, John? We have Russell Wilson now. He's just going to run around and make plays. It's going to be fine.
He's going to extend everything anyway, yeah. Fine.
But good stuff as always from John on the Broncos draft and the whole crew, on the whole team at Broncos Wire. They've done stuff on every single draft pick. They continue to do stuff on these players, so check it out on Broncos Wire for sure. The schedule has also come out, John. So schedule day was last week, which is part of the reason why we waited an extra week to do this show. We just thought, let's just get all these topics out of us right now, right? Let's get it out. And the schedule came out. The Broncos opening the season on Monday Night Football in Seattle is probably one of the big storylines of the entire schedule release, right? Just really, really fun. Your leadoff take on the Broncos opening on Monday night in Seattle. Russ goes home. What do you think?
Yeah, I love it because it's such a cool story. His very first game with the Broncos, he's playing against his former team of the last 10 years, the team he took to two Super Bowls, and the team that he crushed the Broncos with in the Super Bowl. So now, you know, maybe he can help the Broncos get a little bit of revenge. It's totally different because it's regular season compared to a Super Bowl. But still, like, he's the shoe's on the other foot now, and he's going to try to help the Broncos return the favor a little bit. So it's an awesome storyline. I kind of like Sunday Night Football more than Monday Night Football. It's just kind of random preference I have.
Me
so
too.
I would have preferred it to be Sunday Night Football, but that's not a huge thing. It's still in prime time. You know, every NFL fan is going to be watching this game, not just because of the storyline, but because it's the opening Monday Night Football game of the season. So it's a real cool matchup, and I mean, it's a super awesome way to begin the year.
Yeah, everyone's going to be watching, especially Broncos fans. Like, everyone's going to be geeked up. You've been waiting months to see how this new offense is going to look with the new franchise quarterback and the new offensive-minded head coach. Like, we're all fired up. But the whole build-up to the season opener, John, is going to be about Russell Wilson going home, right? Going home to the team that drafted him, right? And I can't help it. You know, as a Patriots fan, I think back to last year when Tom Brady came back to Foxborough. It was a very emotional night for me, John, as I'm sure you know. He came back to Foxborough to play a mediocre Patriots team, and Brady was basically a puddle after the game. He was talking about how emotionally drained he was. You know, he talked about how he was in tears throughout the week or whatever. He had a long meeting with Belichick after the game in the locker room, which is kind of weird. And it's like, how's Russell? Like, this is Russell's first game as a Bronco. It's in Seattle, you know, against a coaching staff and a defense that knows him better than anyone in a loud, hostile stadium against an angry and motivated Drew Locke, right? Like, I'm not picking the Seahawks because they're going to be terrible this year, John. I think the Broncos are going to win. But this isn't going to be – this is – as fun as this matchup is, and as much as I can't wait for it, and I don't want to be negative Nancy, but this is, like, a harder game than it should be. Seattle sucks, but this is going to be a hard game to win. Week one, Monday night in Seattle, first game with everybody together. Like, this is going to be tough. It's going to be painful. I think they're going to win, but it's not going to be pretty, I don't think. You know, I don't think it's going to be blowout city over there. I think it's going to be an emotional night for Russ in a lot of different ways. First game with Denver in Seattle. I think in a way, we're getting screwed as Broncos fans, but it's also so freaking fun. I can't wait. You know, I'm so torn on it. I don't know. Help me out. What am I even saying here? I think it's a tough game. It's tougher than it should
be. My brother told me the same thing. He was like, I wish that game was in the middle of the season, not week one of the season.
1 p.m.
And I get
Sunday.
That,
that's what I want. Yeah.
I get that perspective, but I just think, yes, it's going to be emotional for Wilson. It's going to be tough for Wilson. But in a way, I think having it in week one is kind of nice because, yes, you have that leading up this summer to that game. I think it will really hit him closer to the game. So really, like,
definitely,
the
yeah.
week of leading up to that game, it's going to be tough and emotional for him. But then once it's over, it's over. And you got the whole rest of the season in front of you. You don't have to worry about that at all. If it was in the middle of the schedule and maybe surrounded by like some tough division games or maybe some like a Thursday night game after a Sunday night game, or, you know, if it's in the middle of the season and you're in a tough spot, or like it's before you go to London, or it's like after you come back to London after your bye week, like, I feel like the circumstances could have been tougher. Like, I agree with you. This is not going to be an easy game for Wilson, and it's not going to be as easy for the Broncos as it looks on paper. But I don't necessarily mind it being in week one because it's highly emotional. You get it out of the way in the week one, done and dusted, and then you move forward the rest of the year. And like you're saying, hopefully they're going to win this game, start 1-0. Wilson, you know, gets the monkey off his back. You know, he proves a point to his former team, and you go forward, and it's over. So I kind of like that it's right at the beginning because you can just get it over with. And, you know, if it is a disaster and they lose, it's also just week one, one game, it's over with, we move forward. Like, it's not towards the end of the season, you're fighting
point.
For the playoffs.
Yep, that's a good
and
point.
Super emotional, you lose, and it, like, kills your playoff chances. Like, it's not that kind of a scenario. So I get that people would have liked it kind of in the middle of the year, but I'm not too bothered about it being right in week one. I think in some ways it's kind of nice.
Yeah, I mean, as a football fan, I can't wait. It's going to be so fun. Like, that's going to be a must-see event on Monday night. I can't wait. It's going to be great. How the Broncos going to look with Wilson? He's in Seattle. Come on, forget it. It's going to be great. Those fans are awesome over there. But yeah,
from an NFL perspective, they don't want to put it in the middle of the season if the, you know, Seahawks are like 2-7
yes,
or something.
Exactly.
So at the beginning of the year, everybody's good until you're not. So this gives them a chance. Like, what are the Seahawks going to look like this year? And you mentioned the Drew Lock aspect. Like, I kind of keep forgetting about that. Like, not only is this Wilson against his former team, Drew Lock, if he wins a starting job, he is going to have so much motivation to prove a point to the Broncos. He is going to come out. He's going to want to come out on fire and just tear them up. And we'll see if he can do it. We'll see if he even wins the starting job. But, you know, that is another huge storyline. It's going to be so interesting to see Lock, his very first game with the Seahawks against the Broncos, a team where, you know, it seems like he has a little bit of hard feelings, maybe rightfully so. And I think he definitely has some hard feelings against some of the fans, probably primarily me and you, Ryan, given him a tough time, because he has real diehard supporters. But I think on social media, you notice, even if it's only like a tenth negative and, you know, like 90% positive and 10% negative, you notice the negative, and the negative hits you. And so I think Locke has felt the negative fans in the time he felt in Denver. I think that really bothered him, and so I think he's going to have and it's not just from the fans either. Obviously the front office gave up on him. They did, in his mind, they didn't give him enough of a chance, so he's going to want to prove him wrong.
Yeah, no, you wait. Drew Lock is going to start, John. He's going to look like John Elway that game, right? And he's going to suck the rest of the year. that's going to happen.
It could be.
Seattle's not going to be good. They're going to be bad, but that's going to be a really tough game, and I don't think it's a automatic win for the Broncos, even though Seattle's not going to be that good. It's going to be really fun. It's going to be a fun night. I can't wait. It's going to be great. Other topics with the schedule. No team got 6 primetime games, John, but Denver got 5. They were one of the teams that got 4 primetime games in their first 6 contests. So you're going to be exhausted. We're going to be exhausted. Especially you covering
Tell
the team
about it.
For the Broncos Wire. You guys are going to be exhausted. It's going to be a long couple months to start the year, but it's going to be a lot of fun, but just a lot of night games. And I thought this was fun. Denver got 5 primetime games this year. Well, so that's what Seattle had last year. Seattle had 5 primetime games last year. This year they have 2. The Monday night game to open the year, and then their Thursday night football game. They have no Sunday night games. So Seattle will be in the limelight on Monday night, and then they'll disappear from the national landscape. Why? I mean, I don't know. It's not because of Drew Lock, right? It's not because Drew Lock's their quarterback. It can't be, John. It can't be. No.
Yeah, no. I think there's a certain quarterback that made the Broncos very relevant, and his departure has made the Seahawks very irrelevant very quickly. It's amazing what a franchise quarterback does to an NFL
team.
It's
a QB swap, and now one team's got 5 primetime games, the other's got 2.
And the Broncos are in primetime 5 times. They also got 2 more nationally televised games, because in London, technically it's streaming, but anybody in the country that wants to watch that can watch it on ESPN+. And then they play on Christmas Day in the afternoon against the Rams. They're only 1 of 3 games on Christmas, so that game will be nationally televised on CBS. So I hope the Broncos are good this year, because if they're not, NFL fans are going to get really sick of them.
A lot of Broncos football right in your face this year, right? Here it comes. Here it comes. I'm excited.
I love it. I hope they live up to it. That's the thing.
Yeah, I'm not in Colorado, so I need that. I need them on national TV. I'll get to see more games, not have to worry about the red zone. It'd be perfect.
Yep.
Be perfect. So there it is. There it is. We hit all our topics, John. I'm proud of us. I'm out of breath here, as usual. But there's a lot to get to on this one. You know, the Broncos are about to begin OTAs soon. It's already June, basically. Like, we're going to blink and we'll be in June, right? So it's going to be time for OTAs and all that. You got any takes on what's next for the Broncos here before we sign off?
Yeah, no, just like you said, OTAs just about to start. Then middle of June, they got mandatory minicamp. The players then get a break until training camp starts in late July. And then from in July, you go into August, you got preseason. Preseason flies by, and the regular season's here in September. So we're going to get through these months, and football is going to be back pretty quickly. And, you know, if the Broncos, like, if they are sold to a new owner or if something big comes up, we'll hop on and record a podcast. But otherwise, we're going to take a little summer break like the players are, and we'll get back to it back when football gets closer.
Yeah, for sure. If there's any news that warrants it, we'll definitely jump on here. I'm available. I'm available for you anytime, John. You just let me know. You let me know. We'll record. That's
I appreciate it. Sounds good, Ryan.
Yeah, and you better get your rest because, my God, you're going to be a busy man, the Broncos. Yeah, it's going to be a big year for them. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah,
I can't wait to
come. A lot of late nights, a lot of prime time. It's exciting. Thank you, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so sweet, isn't it? It's great. I still can't believe that. It'll really be surreal watching him lead them out there in a Broncos uniform, and it's going to be like Russell Wilson's in a Denver uniform playing Seattle. It's going to be a mind trip, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, all serious, John, great job covering the draft and everything you're doing with Broncos Wire, man. You should be proud of yourself and the team. You guys are doing a great job.
All right, sounds good, Ryan, and thank you, fans, for listening. Please give us a positive rating and review on your podcast service of choice, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
This USA Today Sports podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.